Today's text, Jesus will send out the 12 apostles. Later, Luke gives a different time where he sends out 70. Both of them matter. The apostles are different than we are. They're above all of us. None of us alive today have that category of being an apostle. So it's kind of good that he sends out the 70, including the non-apostles. Evangelism also by the non-apostles, like us. The Great Commission will mention the apostles. Specifically, it says he spoke to the apostles, and yet the command to make disciples of all nations is supposed to be to all the end of the age. So, that includes us. He's talking to the apostles, but there are applications way beyond the apostles, and we'll do both categories. Apostles are different, but still, we also are sent out with a message. In Matthew 10, verses 1 through 4, we have the 12 are summoned. That's the New American Standard Translation. We could say they've already been selected, and now the 12 are summoned. Matthew 10, first section gives a lot of their names. Begin reading at verse 1. Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. The first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, and James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. The word disciple means learners. They would learn from Jesus' teaching, and they would also learn from watching him, what he did. We are disciples. We are learners. The apostles are a little bit different category. There aren't very many of them. They had to be selected. 12 apostles, but we're going to minus Judas. But then they'll cast lots in Acts chapter 1 and add Matthias back up to 12. And then the Apostle Paul was sent to the non-Jews, to the Gentiles. So you have one apostle to the non-Jews and the 12, mainly to Jewish people, to trust in Jesus as Savior. That is a limited category. The word apostello actually means to be sent. That's where the title of the apostles come from. They were sent. So they had to have seen the risen Lord to be an apostle. It says that when they were picking out Matthias, they had to give a category of who has seen the risen Lord. And Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9, 5 and 6, am I not apostle? Have I not seen the risen Lord? So there aren't really any real category of apostles now. You have to be 2,000 years old. You have to have seen the risen Lord to be an apostle. There aren't any now, even though sometimes a church will give the pastor the name of apostle so-and-so. It's probably best not to do that. I mean, it's not the worst thing in the world. But there really are no that category apostles. And that fits that nobody can write another book and say, this belongs in the Bible. In the Bible, New Testament books, it had to be written by an apostle or someone who was working under the supervision of an apostle. So, but there aren't any. Nobody could write another book and say, this belongs in the New Testament. Also, it probably means there are no miracle workers. The logic goes this way. 2 Corinthians 12:12 talks about the signs of an apostle. Miraculous accounts in Acts 2:42 and 5:12 talk about signs through the apostles. Now, people other than the apostles could do it, but usually it was transferred to them. Paul said in Romans 1:1, he wanted to come to Rome, quote, to impart some spiritual gift to you. So it seems like being a real miracle worker, that every time they wanted to make somebody better, they got better. A real miracle worker is Jesus and the apostles and people that the apostles chose personally. It does not seem it will go on and on and on and on for miracle workers. In Ephesians 2:20, the foundation of the church is the apostles and prophets. The church is almost 2,000 years old. Probably 2,000 years old since the resurrection and Jesus. And that's a long time from the foundation. No longer in the founding period, no one is actually technically an apostle that can write new books that belong in the Bible. And no one really is miracle workers. God could do miracles, and it says in James 5:14 to pray for the sick. So just fine to pray directly that God does a miracle himself. But that's not quite the same thing as a miracle worker that has the power that they're always able to do a miracle. Here are the apostles way above us. There are four lists of apostles in order of the New Testament. Matthew 10 is first, Mark 3, Luke 6, Acts 1. In every list, Peter's the first name. And it says that specifically, the first, Simon, who is called Peter. And later in Matthew 16, when we get there, you are Petra, meaning the rock, meaning Peter. And upon you I will build this church. So all of the apostles are the founding stones, but kind of it starts with Peter first. Now John was also around even at this time, but he probably was, we might say, a kid. He might have even been a teenager at the time of Jesus, and he lived all the way till the last reference in church history is AD 98, and he was still alive. So John was probably younger. Peter is always first. The other thing that's a little bit strange here is we have Matthew the tax collector. Matthew the criminal, because in those days all the tax collectors were criminal. The Romans auctioned off the power to tax. Who will give us the most money? Who will bid higher? Who will bid? They were all criminals. So this is like a saying now, Matthew the criminal. But the reason I'm putting that in there is this kind of supports that Matthew wrote this book. Early church fathers said Matthew is the author. That goes back to AD 95 to 110. The earliest church father that said Matthew is the author was AD 95 to 110. Internal evidence that supports this is the phrase Matthew the criminal, because Matthew is probably the one that wrote that. Another person writing it would leave it out, like the other Gospels do. Leave out Matthew the crook. Also coming in Matthew 17, only in Matthew, Jesus will say, throw the hook in the water and catch a fish and get a coin in its mouth and pay the taxes. That seems to be another indication that Matthew, the tax collector, is the author of our book. Well, he selected the apostles, he chose them, he sends them out now in verses 5 through 7. And let's read verses 5 through 7. These 12 Jesus sent out after instructing them, do not go in the way of the Gentiles, the ethnics, the ethna is the original word. Do not enter any city of the Samaritans, but rather Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, now at the end of the book, there'll be very different commands. Also to the apostles, but the very different commands go to all nations. Here, don't start out by going to all nations. Go only to Israel at this first time. So it starts out with go only to Israel, and also we have the gospel of the kingdom, the gospel of heaven, the gospel of the cross was not yet done at the time of Matthew 10. The gospel of the cross, defined in 1 Corinthians 15, that Jesus died for our sins according to the Scriptures, He was raised the third day according to the Scriptures, so the gospel, the good news of the cross, the death, burial, and resurrection, trust in Him, that is the gospel, the good news that we are supposed to give now. Not yet. Not yet at this time. Not yet at Matthew chapter 10. So they're supposed to say, the King has come. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. John 1:15. Isaiah 53, He is despised and rejected of men. The first coming, here is your King. And Jesus was still preaching, here is the King. But as time goes on, some will trust in Jesus as Savior, but say the government in Israel will not. The leaders in Israel will not. Many Jews will trust in Jesus as Savior, but not all of them. But right now, they're supposed to proclaim that good news, that the King has come. And we are supposed to give the good news, the gospel of the cross. We picked Mark 5:19 for a reason. We are supposed to go and tell people about Jesus, but we don't have to go to other nations. Sometimes people are called. We got a letter from a missionary who wants to come to the church, and he's been here before. The Mintons from Ukraine, they go a long ways away. But Mark 5:9, you go home and to your people and report to them what great things God has done for you. So we're not apostles, but we're all learners, we're all disciples, we're all supposed to go and do evangelism. We don't have to go a long ways away. We could be like this category in Mark chapter 5. You stay in your locality. You go home to your own family and friends and your own neighbors. You go home to your own town and you tell them what great things God has done for you. Now we will continue. We're going to get eventually to what do you do if they reject. But first there is this section in verses 8 through 11. Verse 8. To the apostles. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you receive, freely give. Do not acquire gold or silver or copper for your money belts or bag for your journey or even two coats or sandals, for the worker is worthy of support. And whatever city or village you enter, inquire who is worthy in it, and stay at his house until you leave that city. The apostles are talked about here. It's not that someone can say, verse 8 is true of me, I'm supposed to run around and heal everybody. Talking to the apostles. Verse 10 was a quote, quoted later in 1 Timothy 5:18. Now, I won't spend a long time, but this is like, it's a good thing to support Christian workers so they can keep going and do it full time. And thanks for helping. Almost 40 years. Next month will be 40 years for the first sermon here. And thanks for helping us do lots of evangelism in those 40 years. And Marilyn and I would bless you for that. I want to stress, though, that this was already quoted in 1 Timothy. So 1 Timothy 5 already knew the lines of Matthew 10 and Luke 10. That supports the Gospels were written very, very early. So we have authorship earlier where it says Matthew the criminal, Matthew the tax collector. And here you have the worker is worthy of his wages that is already quoted in 1 Timothy 5. So Matthew and Luke were written before 1 Timothy. And 1 Timothy was written in the 60s. So even if we don't have an exact date for Matthew and Luke, they're already being quoted by the 60s. And both Matthew and Luke, being quoted by the 60s, were written earlier. And they're giving us information that has to be earlier than the AD 60s. And that's not that far from Jesus. And the apostles were still around while it was being written. So we have evidence that Matthew is the author. And we have lines that are quoted in books written in the 60s and gives evidence of an early date. Now we're getting to what to do if someone will not accept Jesus. And let's go ahead and read about that in verses 12 and following. As you enter the house, give it your greeting. If the house is worthy, give it your blessings of peace. But if it's not worthy, take back your blessings of peace. And whoever does not receive you, we would say welcome. Receive equals welcome. But whoever does not receive you nor hear your words, as you go out of that house or that city, shake off the dust off your feet. Now, shaking off the dust off your feet would be to go home again. Go back to a house where you're more welcome, and then they would take their shoes off going in the house. We have lots of shoes. We don't have to just have one set of shoes. And, you know, in those days, they only have one, so you take it off before you go in. My missionary friend in Turkey, they did that because I think that's custom there. You have to walk around the house barefoot or in your socks, which I would not like in the winter all the time. But in those days, shake off the dust, that's a way of saying, we're not welcome, we're going away. You have rejected Jesus Christ as Savior, and we're going to go away, and we don't have to feel guilty about it. We are supposed to tell other people, but if they reject, we don't have to feel guilty. We just do what Jesus commands. If they will not accept Jesus as Savior, best to continue. Try again later from time to time, but we don't have to keep trying over and over and over and over fast again. We can just wait for a while and not feel guilty. Now we have one more verse in verse 15 about greater punishment and lesser punishment. That's just verse 15. Truly I say to you, it will be more tolerable for that land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. We've been studying Revelation in the Sunday School Hour. We've recently done Revelation 14:11. And it does say that there will be punishment for all who reject Jesus as Savior, and it will be forever and ever. Jesus did agree with the place. He did agree with the time. Now, it could be in Revelation 14, it's specifically talking about those that worship the Antichrist. Talking about the tribulation period. Those that worship the beast, they will get more punishment. Here it talks about lesser punishment. Jesus did teach about it. He talks about Gehenna. 11 out of 12 New Testament references to Gehenna, Jesus gives them. Valley of Hinnom, Guy Hinnom, the garbage dump. It was the garbage dump outside of Israel, which used as an illustration. Not real good, but they would throw cows and sheep and horses and mules in the garbage dump. Therefore, there were worms out there. And it was on fire all the time because of the trash. So when Jesus pictures what will happen in eternity for those who reject Jesus as Savior, he pictures of unending worms and unending fires, the guy Hinnom. And that's how he pictures it. Although there will be more tolerable and less tolerable. That's coming again in Matthew 11, 22 through 24. So we'll wait to review all that. We've done it in Revelation studies, but all who reject got trouble, but more tolerable, less tolerable. It's kind of interesting. What is the more tolerable? What is the best? Well, we don't know, but we do know that the worst will be for those that saw Jesus do miracles and rejected him anyway. And those who saw the 12 apostles who were sent out and saw them do the things that are mentioned here and rejected Jesus as Savior anyway. So less tolerable is especially for those who watched Jesus, they witnessed him, they witnessed these 12 apostles, and they didn't trust him as Savior and rejected this message. We will continue now in verse 16. Verse 16 uses animal illustrations. It's kind of common to call believers in Jesus sheep, but here they are snakes. Not very common. Sneaky snakes. Verse 16. And behold, I send you out as sheep. Very, very common. Sheep in the midst of wolves. So be as shrewd as serpents and as innocent as doves. Well, sheep and doves kind of make sense. Shrewd as serpents. Well, he's not saying to bite people. He's not saying to poison people. But shrewd is kind of like do public relations in a shrewd way. My way of doing that is two things. I look for people who have suffering, especially in my case, mental illness in their family. But in general, all suffering. That seems to be a good time to try to help somebody. If they've lost somebody in their family to death, or if they've lost their job, or if they're having a hard time, that seems to be a good time. Just call it public relations. And he's saying, be good. Be good at public relations. The other thing is to do a friend of a friend. It's kind of a sneaky way. Friend of a friend. I don't know you, but I know so-and-so. Or I've never communicated with you, but I've communicated with so-and-so. I have to do this all the time. And I don't want to talk about our illustrations, but a friend of a friend. And when they have trouble. So to me, this is kind of like good in public relations. Not poison and biting people, but kind of like sneaking up, friend of a friend. Or they have a trouble that we can help with. Verses 17 through 20. But beware of men, for they will hand you over to courts and scourge you in their synagogues. And you will even be brought before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they hand you over, do not worry about how or what you are to say, for it will be given to you in that hour what you are to say. For it is not you who speak, but it is the Spirit of your Father who speaks through you. Well, you can't just pick out, do not worry about what to say for all occasions. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved unto God. When there is time to make preparations for what to say, make preparations for what to say. But sometimes there are unexpected situations. This can happen in conversations. It just sort of comes up. You didn't expect it. And then it says, just tell them about Jesus, or just tell them the truth, and don't worry about every little detail that goes on. Now, this can be about conversations. I've done this several times with public speaking. There have been at least three times where I go to something and the speaker doesn't come. There's nobody there. Okay. The other thing is, if people come up unexpected, sometimes reporters have done this, not a lot, but two or three times a reporter, and here's a question. Well, it's best to give an answer. Just trust. It says the Holy Spirit will give you what to say. Just trust. Now, when you can prepare, prepare. But when you can't prepare, someone comes up to you with a conversation and they need an answer, go ahead and give them the answer. And don't worry about every little detail about it. It will be sufficient. He's talking to the apostles, but I'm applying it to all of us. So does 1 Peter 3:15. It says, be ready to make a defense to everyone who asks of you of the hope that is within you. So kind of think about what we might say, and then when it comes up, go ahead and say something. Best to do something. Now, we've applied it to ourselves, although he's talking to the apostles. And he's talking to the apostles, and I want to stress that, because when I read the following section, that'll be our last section for today, he's talking about he who endures to the end will be saved. And that's not saying work hard to get saved. Can't mean that. Not of works, lest any man should boast, Ephesians 2:8. But he's talking about the tribulation period. If you take the church out, no church yet, when Jesus is speaking in Matthew 10, take the church out, you go right from the apostles to the tribulation saints. You go right from the apostles and leave the church out, goes right to the tribulation saints. And enduring to the end would be keep trying in the tribulation. There will be a point where it will be over with. It will be a point where you have endured all the way through the tribulation. You will be delivered out of the tribulation. So that's mainly what it's talking about. Let's go ahead and read verses 21 and 23 for our last section. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. You will be hated by all because of my name. But it's the one who endures to the end will be delivered out of the tribulation. Apostles and tribulation, no church in here. Verse 23, but whenever they persecute you in one city, flee to the next. For truly I say to you, will not finish going through the cities of Israel until the Son of Man comes. Church will be raptured, won't be a part of the tribulation. This could happen now, but fortunately in our time and where we are in America, it's not that bad. Not perfect. But in the tribulation, more hatred, more danger. Those that endure to the end, there will be an end to the tribulation. It's just 7 years, and we'll be saved. What have we seen this morning? Well, there were 12 apostles. They're higher than we are. They could write or supervise the writing of the Bible. They're higher. There are no apostles today that have seen the risen Lord. No more books of the Bible. And very likely no more miracle workers, even if God directly can do a miracle. News here of a king. Later coming news of the church. And the full gospels, the good news that a king has come. Later, the good news, he was rejected at his first coming. He paid for our sins and rose again. He will come again at his second coming. So Matthew 10 continues from here about the Son of Man coming again. Will the musicians please come?